Elijah did. Very clever, Elijah.
The Doors.
We had Tony Delk on the show. We congratulated him for he will be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Had a really good conversation with him. Yesterday, we had on Terry Crisp. And he also was given the news that he, too, will be in this latest class of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame this summer. Jeff Fisher was at the Predators game Saturday night. He will be a part of this class. And our next guest, Tim Corbin. This is nice, but we've been calling him a Hall of Famer for a long time. Tim Corbin is on the line, Vanderbilt baseball coach. Tim, how you doing?
Thank you, Darren. I'm doing good.
So were you taken by surprise yesterday with this announcement?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't see that coming. My wife will be around here, but typically not when we're doing press conference things. So I thought she was either being nosy or I didn't anticipate what was coming. So that was, yeah, certainly a pleasant surprise for sure.
Do you feel like in the future, Tim, that you will pull the Hall of Fame card on Maggie at any point?
No, she's already a Hall of Famer. She's a Hall of Famer at the College of Charleston and for tennis. So she did something athletically that I've never done. So she's got one ahead of me. She was a Hall of Famer long before this situation came about.
So she basically went, blah, 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 been there, done that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, that joke bombed. I'll keep going. Yeah. This has been a good week.
You're off to a great start.
For you guys. You've had to deal with the elements. It hasn't exactly been great weather, but you feel like things are coming around. The pitching has been spectacular. You've been scoring more runs. How have you felt about the latest round of Vanderbilt baseball?
Well, the pitching's been consistent. I think that's the best way we can put it. They've thrown strikes. Their pace has been good. They have not pitched in easy situations from a condition standpoint. The teams, they've been able to keep them off the scoreboard and slow them down. They've been able to lessen the base runners, and we've actually played pretty good defense. Now, in saying that, they've taken care of a lot of the outs themselves, which is good, but the times that we've had to play defense, we have, so that part's good. We're catching the ball well behind the plate. For young freshman, C.J. Rodriguez has done a nice job, and, of course, Tyler Duvall. And then offensively, we're just growing. We're continuing to get better with games, and that's what it's going to take, especially as the pitching starts to ramp up a little bit, as it's going to this weekend with Hawaii. We're going to see several good arms, and that's needed as we start to go forward, because we're going to continually start to see that.
We've talked a lot about your pitching, and obviously you've got great arms, and especially in the freshman, and Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, and the list goes on. But your junior, Austin Martin, we've talked to you about him, but let's focus in on him. He had a big game, a couple of home runs. In your last game, you went over St. Louis. I think he's batting over 400. What does Austin Martin mean to your team, Tim? And what about his growth from when he arrived to where he is today?
Well, he's had great growth from a maturity standpoint. I think that's number one. Not to say he was immature, but just to see the habits of someone that is evolving as a student and then as a student athlete, and then start to display organizational skills in life that are so imperative for someone who's successful. And that's what I've definitely seen with him. He competes. He competes at a very high level, and that is certainly good for a team. And he's his own person. I think he's that blend of kid where he's got his own style. He wears clothing and does things in a way that's just him, but yet his leadership skills are very powerful, because he's got a connection with the team. He gives confidence to the team because he's got confidence in himself. He's got high believability in himself. And I think from that vantage point, he's got a lot of great leadership skills. I've often told him that I know air traffic control is in the back of his mind someday because his dad's involved in that, but I think he'd be a wonderful teacher. I think he does a great job of communicating with his teammates about the game. And when he talks, people do listen, because he's got a lot of good information. He pays attention. can't really catch him off guard. So, yeah, he means a lot to our team.
We're talking to Tim Corbin. And, Tim, I've seen through the years how hard it is sometimes for people to jump right in and become a college catcher at this level. It's a lot more complex than it might appear from the stands. So tell me about Rodriguez. What makes him ready to be able to take on those duties so young?
Well, he catches the ball well. He can throw the ball well. And I think because he was forced into a lot of action in the fall with Tyler Duvall being out, Keegan being out, he and Romero got all the reps behind the plate, the two freshmen. And where CJ is ahead of a lot of people is just his feel for the game. Now, after the first weekend, I think he started to settle down, which is pretty normal for a freshman. But came to camp, we liked what he could do in camp in terms of catching the ball. And I think the trait of any catcher, especially when they're catching our staff, because I think our staff is – it's not easy staff to catch. I mean, there's a lot of high velocities, there's a lot of movement, and there's a lot of sharp breaking balls. And with that, there's a few misfires. So if you're sitting in the catcher's area and all of a sudden you're calling for a ball away and the next thing you know it's up and in, then you have to move accordingly. But I think good catchers are a lot like good umpires. You don't notice them because the game is clean and they make it look clean, and he certainly has done that. And then the other part of CJ, which is equally as impressive, is how he's handled the offensive side of things. He puts the ball in play and just doesn't strike out. So he does a lot for your team in order for them to move forward in a positive way.
We learn a lot about your team from Max Hurst, from our staff, who's calling a lot of the games when Joe Fisher is calling basketball. And one of the things he's touched on with us, and this is something that I know is evolving, there are some college programs that would never let any pitcher or catcher call their own game. The pitching coach or somebody from the dugout is going to have a say. But you guys are getting more and more, giving more and more responsibility, it looks like, to the pitchers, the catchers, to be able to get a feel for that.
It's earned. I think in order to do that, a pitching coach has to look at the pitcher and the catcher and say they're very capable of doing it. And then you listen to certain pitchers speak, and you know that they're paying attention to film. You know they're paying attention to feet. You know they're paying attention to swing angles and decisions made by the hitter. And when a guy like Kumar Brownie finally got to a point, about three quarters of the way through the season last year, where he said, "You call what you want to call. I'm going to give you a pitch, but you call what you want to throw." And essentially what Kumar was doing was making those decisions himself based on how he felt and based on what he was reading at the plate. And I think a lot of that's instinctual. It's intuition, and not everyone has that. There are some pitchers, really good pitchers, that get on the mound and don't want to think about their pitch. They just want to be told what to throw, and then they throw it. So I guess it just differs for the kid, but In cases where Brownie thinks the guy's capable, then I think you let him run with it, because if they do, they feel good and they feel more equipped to do what they need to do in order to win.
You mentioned Kumar Rocker. He had another great performance. He's so dominating with the two pitches that he has. Long term, I'm sure it would be something that would be important to keep developing the third pitch. He doesn't have to throw it very much, but Where is that in the process right now, and how much would you like for him to mix in a third pitch just so he has it in the repertoire?
Well, he left the exit meeting last spring after we got back from Omaha. That's why, you know, I just talked about the changeup with him. I talked about that. That's the next progression for a young pitcher. And during the summer, I just texted him, changeup. That was it. Not hello, not bye, just changeup. And so I put it in his mind, and so when he throws it, which he did last week, he threw it pretty well too, he's starting to get a good feel of it. And I think that when he starts equipping himself with that, that's when he becomes very difficult, because then, you know, as a hitter, you're sitting on speeds, you're sitting on rhythms. And when you've got a kid like him that throws a hard fastball that moves, throws a hard breaking ball, and then can slow the ball down, you've got a challenge. And the other piece of this is, he is intimidating, obviously, his size, but what makes him tough to hit, too, is he's that kid that will misfire, and he'll misfire up and in, and it's not intentional. But he's hit some kids above the shoulder blades, and that's no fun for a hitter when you're thinking about, I got to think about a ball coming up and in, and then you want me to cover the plate, and that's very difficult to do. And then the next pitch, he'll drop a slider right over the middle of the plate. So he's tough to stand in against.
Tim Corbin is with us, Vanderbilt baseball coach and Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer. You know, when I look at your team, you know, going back to last year and even the year before, I mean, the hitting, what you guys are starting the year off this year doing, Mike Baxter, somebody that, you know, knows the program, has been around you for a long time, is an assistant and the hitting coach. What are some things that he works on with some of your hitters that help them evolve and keep hitting at such a great pace?
Well, first of all, he's so good at what he does, and Brownie is too, and Dave Macias. I feel like a dad that has two sons working in the business for him, and that's where David and Mike come in, and then Brownie's been a right-hand man for a long period of time. But Mike's a special guy because he can teach swing mechanics, which he does, but he really teaches the approach. I mean, the approach to hitting, which I think is so important. He just doesn't want hitters to be split at the plate. I think there's a huge part of him that just wants hitters to get up there, identify what they want mentally first, and then start looking for it. And I think that's the thing that all these hitters have learned the most from him about. He was a college hitter and a real good one here at Vanderbilt, then went off and had an 11-year career in professional baseball, 8 of those years in the big leagues. And that's a self-made kid now. When I first saw him, and he always jokes to the players about what I told him when he first came in, I told him, we're going to send you back to your Ivy League school if you keep lowering that barrel when you take it through the zone. And I did tell him that. I said, you'll never hit here. And he ended up flattening out his swing and ended up spinning the ball pretty well. But he's a kid that really, really understands hitting. He understands approaches, and he does a great job of communicating to the kids. The kids really, really trust him. So we're lucky to have him.
Tim, I know we talked to you a few weeks ago when the change at athletic director happened, but we had Candace Story Lee on this morning for the first time, our first chance to really talk to her. And Derek Mason was on earlier this week and said she was there the first day of practice. What have been some of the interactions now that it's been a few weeks with you and Candace Story Lee?
Well, I've known Candace for the 18 years I've been here, and I love her. I mean, I just love her as a person, and that's aside from her professional way of going about it. But she has some great strengths, and the one strength she has that all people are looking for is communication skills and honesty and trust. And I think her ability to relate to everyone. I mean, she's a chameleon. She could communicate with anyone. Is the most powerful thing that she does. And there's a sun over her all the time. I mean, there's a positivity about her that is just very easy to see. I mean, you see her teeth all the time. She's smiling, and, you know, she knows when to get serious, but she also knows how to create harmony within a group of people. And I think that's the most important thing. When you start taking the people that you're around and you start accumulating positive energy so it can move in a direction, then you've got something. And, you know, I've been at Vanderbilt for 18 years, and it's very easy to be cynical about what happens to Vanderbilt and when decisions are made, you know, and I get that. But, you know, with this child, she will be able to move people in the direction they need to go. And I think you'll see some things from her that people might be unexpecting right now, but in time, I feel strongly about Candace. She's a tremendous person to be around. I've always liked her. I've always respected her, and I think that's the most important thing. I like her as a human, but I respect her as a professional, and she's very good at what she does.
Tim, well said. Congrats again on what will happen this summer in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, and go get Hawaii this weekend, starting today.
Okay. Thank you always,
thanks for doing this.
Yep.
Tim Corbin, he's a Hall of Famer. We knew that. He's also Vanderbilt's baseball coach. And we just learned something. Maggie was a Hall of Famer before him.
She was a great tennis player. Great tennis player. For real.
Two Hall of Fame individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've always been in the human Hall of Fame for sure. All right, we will come back and put a bow on the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.